Live from WRAL News Headquarters in Raleigh, your number one source for local news. WRAL News, coverage you can count on.
I'm Brett Neese, live in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker from the Johnson County Sheriff's Office, where deputies are investigating a shooting that happened in the northern part of the county yesterday evening. Coming up, what I've learned in the last hour.
And chilly temperatures as you're heading out the door, still in the 30s in many places. I'll show you how cool it will be this week compared to last week.
A busy section of Oberlin Road is closed this morning as crews are working on a new streetscape project. Coming up, how this could impact your morning commute for the next week.
It's a brand new week. We welcome you in on this chilly Monday morning. What a start. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Thanks for making us part of your Monday. Here as we get things going. Yeah, mid-November now, and it's just pretty
chilly.
Typical temperatures for this time of the year. Yeah, Elizabeth Gardner in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. We can hang on to these lake views and 80s from last week. Think about it, but they're gone.
They are gone. But the lake view is still really beautiful, isn't it? You know, even through the winter, it's just nice to take a peek at that, you know, take a deep breath on a Monday morning. 39 is our temperature as you're heading out the door around the Triangle area this morning. Our winds are light, fortunately. We check out temperatures. It's 30 in Roxboro and 36 up in South Hill right now. 41 in Rocky Mount, 40 in Goldsboro. Just starting to see temperatures creep up a touch. 41 in Southern Pines and 39 in Durham and Raleigh. 24-hour temperature change anywhere from 5 to around 10 degrees cooler than it was this time yesterday. That's enough to notice. But the afternoon highs will feel very much like yesterday, with highs in the mid-60s, and we'll copy and paste that for most of the week. It's Friday that things begin to change. I'm tracking a front. I'll show you when we can see some showers coming up. Brian?
It is 8:01 right now, and we're following breaking news in Orange County. We have a crash on 40 eastbound right around the Mount Willing Church Road intersection there, not too far from Hillsboro, before you get to that I-40, I-85 split. And that's leading to some big delays from Mebane out toward the Hillsboro area this morning, about a 27-minute backup, according to sensors. You can see it's solidly backed up from the east side of Mebane all the way out toward Eflin. If you're trying to get through that area this morning, consider using 70 as an alternate route. That should save you quite a bit of time. Once you get through Hillsboro, if you're taking 40 eastbound down toward Chapel Hill, you will run into a little bit of a backup, perhaps right around the New Hope Church Road exit, as they work to get an earlier crash cleared. It looks like that shoulder is blocked there on 40 eastbound. Also, we're watching a crash and carry on Walnut Street around US 1. The northbound side of Walnut Street, or heading away from the Dillard Drive area out toward US 1, that is backed up pretty badly right now as they work to get that cleared. So allow some extra time. The good news is that US 1 northbound traffic looks fine as you head out of Apex through Cary up toward Raleigh. Over on the northeast side of Raleigh, not too far from Rollsville, we have a crash in the clearing stages at Buffalo Road at Old Cruz Road. Pretty heavy delays still showing up on that sensor reading in the intersection through there, especially on Old Cruz Road. While we're on the northern side of Wake County, we're checking in on those delays coming in from Wake Forest on southbound Capitol Boulevard. About a 12-minute backup right now. And out of Rollsville on southbound 401, we're seeing about an 8-minute delay. So allow some extra time coming in there heading toward 540. Of course, if you're getting in the car right now, you can listen to us on the radio, and we'll give you traffic updates there. 99.3 FM in Raleigh, 96.5 FM in Durham.
Also breaking news we're following this morning. We're working to learn more about a shooting near Benson that had deputies working into the early morning hours. Brett Neese is at the Johnson County Sheriff's Office this morning in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker. And Brett, I know you've been piecing together information on this all night long. What do you know now?
Yeah, Jeff, about an hour ago I spoke to a Sheriff's Office deputy investigator who tells me they are investigating a shooting in the northern part of the county. But there are still a number of questions that we're hoping to get some answers to here within the next hour or so. He tells me he's trying to piece some things together, some final things, before he can release any new information. But let's tell you what we know now. This is from the WRAL Breaking News Tracker, the scene here off of South Pleasant Coates Road. There's plenty of crime scene tape that surrounded that home around 6:30 last night. That's when this all unfolded. I'm asking that sheriff's deputy whether or not anybody was hurt in this shooting. Do they have a suspect? And really what led up to this, there's still just a lot of unknown about the lead up to this altercation that happened around 6:30 last night. But there was investigators that were in and out of that home for several hours and into the morning hours. So as soon as we get this brand new information from the sheriff's office, hopefully within the next hour, we'll pass that along. Live in Johnson County, Brett Neese, WRAL News.
And a traffic alert you'll want to know about this morning if you drive near NC State or the Village District in Raleigh. Oberlin Road will be closed between Pullen Road and Clark Avenue for the next week. WRL's Kelsey Coffey joins us live this morning. And Kelsey, this is a part of a bigger plan from the city to improve that area.
Michelle, the city has a lot of big plans, but right now we are here at the intersection of Pullen Road and Oberlin Road. So crews are working there behind me. You may not be able to see them at the moment, but this is the main thoroughfare that connects the Village District to NC State. This will impact drivers for the next week. The closure comes as crews are working on sewer and water main replacement. We spoke with drivers about how this detour impacts their morning commute. Some say they plan to avoid the whole area.
Being that I don't know the city as well as I would like and I use my GPS, I'm pretty sure I'm going to stay away from this area if I can.
This is part of a major streetscape project. Here's a look at what Oberlin Road will look like once that project is complete this upcoming summer. You can expect updated sidewalks, street lighting, and bike lines. And again, this is the intersection of Pullen Road and Oberlin Road, a roundabout here. We've seen a lot of drivers speeding in this area and then having to slam on brakes once they realize that the detour is there. So just be careful if this is a part of your morning commute. And this part of Oberlin Road will reopen next Monday, November 20th. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
Crews from Orange County are among many firefighters who worked through the night at this mill fire. This is Alamance County. It's the city of Graham. And the Graham Fire Department responded to that warehouse fire on Parker Street just before 8 o'clock last night. The city's mayor says the entire block around the mill was evacuated and electricity was turned off. There are no reports of injuries. This is the second huge fire in just over a year at that same mill complex, which used to be owned by Culp Weaving.
Wake County is growing quickly, and so are the concerns county leaders have about how to manage all of that growth. WREL's Laura Levine is at PNC Arena this morning, where leaders will present the state of Wake County tonight. Laura, good morning. This is a glimpse into what's in store for the future of the county.
Just a glimpse, Michelle. Good morning. Yes, and it's very fitting that this address is happening at PNC. It was just in August when the Board of County Commissioners adopted the hospitality tax, where they're going to upgrade and renovate the arena. And it's things like this, growth and economic development, that the board really wants to capitalize on as they look ahead to the future. The Board of County Commissioners and the chair tells me the county is growing at a fast rate, adding about 56 people a day. However, this comes with some challenges. She says county leaders must look at ways to address equitable growth. She tells me other priorities they plan to address include safety, homelessness, food security, jobs, and more.
Housing is always a challenge. Our homelessness population is growing. Economic development has not necessarily been a challenge, but making sure that people have livable wages and that the companies that are coming here really do exemplify the values that we have here in Wake County.
And this will be a panel discussion happening today. She'll be speaking with the Wake County Sheriff as well as the chair of the school board. The address begins at 6 p.m. And if you can't make it here in person, it'll also be live streamed. Laura Levine, WREL News, live in Raleigh.
Well, the countdown is on once again. Congress has until Friday to avoid a government shutdown, and House Republicans say they have a plan. Sources say the House is expected to vote on it as early as tomorrow. New House Speaker Mike Johnson is going with a two-step plan. Under the strategy, some parts of the government would be funded until January and the rest until February. This type of plan has not been tested before. It does not include budget cuts or aid for Israel.
More than 30 people are out of their homes after a fire in a Durham apartment complex. This happened Saturday night at the Lodge at South Point Apartments. That's on Holly Hill Drive. Video from one resident shows the fire trucks there on the scene. That fire started around 9 p.m. and was contained within 20 minutes, but not before spreading into the attic space. Four apartments had fire damage. Eight had smoke and water damage. Fortunately, nobody was hurt. Investigators believe the fire started in a furnace area.
Just about 10 after 8 on your Monday. Coming up, popular weight loss drugs are showing promises of helping with another aspect of your health. How the drugs could open the door to treatment options for the leading cause of death in the U.S.
And one of the most popular sports in America is losing popularity. Why more than half of Americans say they don't want their kids to play tackle football?
This week does not look like last week when we had so many days in the upper 70s to low 80s. Much more seasonable. But we have a front that comes through on Friday that's going to bring us a chance of some showers. I'll show you how that could affect your weekend plans.
A13 coming up on right now on your Monday morning. Look at the sun glare on this camera from Clayton. You know it is out there for sure as you watch WRL News, available on YouTube TV and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. Maybe that will help to warm things up just a little bit quicker because it's chilly out there this morning, a regular November start.
And temperatures dropped into the 30s, even down near freezing in some places. But the sun's been up long enough now. We're starting to see those temperatures bump just a little bit. We take a live look at Goldsboro, Durham. Of course, there's our newsroom, Chapel Hill, Top of the Hill Restaurant. Thanks for their shot there. And then Apex, too, all looking beautiful, just lots of sunshine. This high pressure system here, of course, continues to feed the chilly air into our region. So we're looking at that cool start. We take a look at Futurecast, and we're watching the potential for some rain late Friday into early Saturday. Now, to be sure, we have a lot of runs of the computer model that we'll get between now and late Friday, early Saturday. So this is kind of an early look, and this is a worst-case scenario look at it. The rain's not showing up. We have the new run that just came in, so I'll adjust that. But we're looking at the potential for some showers early Saturday morning. So we're looking at, for our parade forecast, rain clearing with a temperature of 59 at parade start time. Our broadcast starts at 9. The parade starts at 9:30. But keep checking back. We'll be adjusting the timeline of that rain. Right now, it mostly looks like late Friday night, but could linger into the early morning hours of Saturday, potentially as late as maybe even 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning. How much rain will we see? The western part of the state from Raleigh westward could be a quarter to a half an inch, but the eastern part along the I-95 corridor, looking at as much as half an inch to three quarters of an inch. So we need the rain. That's not enough to break our drought, but still, any amount of rain that we could see is certainly helpful. In the next week or so, we have about a 60% chance that this system could develop. It is likely, if it does develop, to move over Cuba and then out into the Atlantic and away from the United States. We have some chilly temperatures in our forecast. I mean, compared to last week, these highs in the mid-60s are really close to normal. 40 degrees tomorrow morning, 38 Wednesday morning. Wednesday will be the coolest afternoon at 61. And then Friday will be the warmest afternoon at 72. But we'll see increasing clouds. And again, we're going to start Saturday with some clouds and maybe some light showers. Right now, Sunday looks nice and dry at 65. Coming up, we're going to talk a little bit more about how close to normal these temperatures are in the 60s, Brian.
It is 8:15 right now, and we're still watching this crash over in Orange County with some heavy delays on 40 eastbound between Mebane and Hillsboro. It's about a 26-minute delay overall as you head through the Eflin area. Things start to clear up just beyond Eflin heading toward Hillsboro. Best option if you're coming in from Mebane back toward Hillsboro this morning is using Highway 70. That should save you at least 15 minutes. Elsewhere around the Triangle, some new data about a crash I'm watching on the Beltline. This is on 440 eastbound right around Melbourne Road. Apparently no injuries with this crash, just a property damage crash. But of course, this is right there in that 440 construction area. So we have limited opportunities to move these crashes over to the side of the road. Heavy delays right now from I-40 all the way out toward the Melbourne Road area to really almost to the Western Boulevard interchange. Solidly backed up there with an 11-minute delay overall between I-40 and Wade Avenue. If you can pick up 440 eastbound from Western Boulevard, Hillsborough Street, or Wade Avenue, you should be in pretty good shape heading on out toward Glenwood. Also in Cary, watching a crash right now on Walnut Street around the US 1 interchange with some pretty heavy delays between Dillard Drive heading up toward the US 1 exit.
Family and friends of a missing Durham man are looking for help from the community as they try to find him. They gathered with posters and flyers Sunday in an effort to learn anything they can about what happened to Samar Barber. The 19-year-old vanished 3 weeks ago. He was last seen on Glen Brittle Drive, and his loved ones say it's just not like him to disappear, and they just want to bring him home.
This is nothing like him at all. So me and his family are very concerned, just want to make sure that he's safe and come back home.
Barber's car is also missing. It is a 2011 red Chrysler Limited. The NC license plate reads KJV8563. Anyone with information is asked to call police.
The Fayetteville Police Department is giving young people an up-close look at the dangers of gun violence. The department is hosting a community workshop tonight called Stop the Bleeding. It's happening from 6 to 9 at the Smith Recreation Center on Slater Avenue. Young people will get a look at how an actual 911 call and medical response happens. Police say while this is an accurate depiction of a violent crime, it is presented in a way that is appropriate for students as young as 6th grade. This is the first workshop in a series that they have planned. And drivers in Southern California may face travel headaches this week after a large storage yard fire over the weekend shut down part of Interstate 10. That is one of the major traffic routes for downtown L.A. And L.A. Mayor Karen Bass surveyed the damage of Saturday's fire. The Los Angeles Fire Department said two separate pallet yards were involved, covering a total of about 80,000 square feet. Several cars were also destroyed in that fire. Police say there's no estimated time for reopening the interstate.
There's a verdict in the sexual assault trial of fashion icon Peter Nygaard. Sunday, a Canadian jury found the 82-year-old guilty of four counts of sexual assault. Five women accused him of attacking them over a three-decade period from the 1980s to the mid-2000s. Nygaard was acquitted of one count of sexual assault and one count of forcible confinement. Nygaard also is facing charges in the United States. A federal indictment filed in 2020 accuses him of using his fashion business to conceal sex trafficking and other illegal activity. He is awaiting potential extradition to the U.S. to face those charges.
The New York Fire Department is working to learn what caused a massive house fire that left three people dead. Crews responded to this fire in Brooklyn around 4:30 Sunday morning. All three floors of the building were on fire when they arrived. In addition to the three people who died, 14 others were hurt. A firefighter also suffered a serious injury but is expected to recover.
Thousands of people are gathering in France to protest a surge in anti-Semitism in the country. A crowd estimated at more than 100,000 marched in Paris yesterday. Lawmakers from both sides of the French parliament joined the march. Officials in France say there have been more than 1,000 anti-Jewish acts in the 5 weeks since Hamas staged its surprise attack on Israel. France has mostly banned pro-Palestinian protests. New weight loss drugs helping millions of people fight obesity also work against heart disease. Now, a new study finds Wegovy and Ozempic can improve heart health. The clinical trials focused on more than 17,000 obese adults 45 years of age and older with pre-existing cardiovascular disease, but were not diabetic. Researchers found the active ingredient in Wegovy and Ozempic reduced the risk of heart attacks and strokes by 20%. This is welcome news for patients like Alexis Mitchell.
I don't want to wait until I have a heart attack. I don't want to wait until I have a stroke.
Up until now, no one has shown in any group of patients with overweight and obesity that the risk of cardiovascular events could be reduced.
Now, we should note, doctors say these recommendations are not for people who want to casually lose weight, like for a big event or something like that. Something else to keep in mind, these drugs are expensive, about $1,300 a month. Most healthcare plans don't cover them.
One of the most popular sports in America is not getting the same support that it used to. A recent study from Ohio State University found 50% of Americans don't think it's appropriate for kids to play tackle football. The risk of potential head and other injuries is why a lot of parents don't want their kids to play. The game is already experiencing a decline in participation. And for the first time ever, the 2021 through 22 school year saw less than a million high school athletes playing tackle football.
People recognize the tradition and social status and, you know, opportunities for social mobility and passion for football on the one hand. And on the other hand, you know, really concerns about whether or not people are risking their health and safety when there are other sports that one can play.
And the study also found those who are more in favor of kids playing tackle football usually see it as a potential financial lifeline for kids to better their futures. A CVS store in Washington, D.C. believes a picture is worth 1,000 rolls. The store now places pictures of some toilet paper brands on shelves because it says people are taking them without paying. Look for your favorite brand among the pictures and press the customer service button on the shelves to alert staff that you need it. Metropolitan Police data says robberies are up 68% in D.C. this year compared to last.
We're getting our first look at a new luxury skincare line for babies. Dior is banking on customers spending big money on their baby's skin. The priciest item is scented water for $230. There's also a $115 moisturizer and a cleanser for $95. Dior says the new products are a revamp of its 1970s perfume line for infants.
Do babies need this?
Not falling for it.
No, me neither. All right, we're days away from Woolies Winter Wonderland debut at the DBAP. This is a live look there this morning. The lights are up and the transformation at the ballpark is well underway. Tickets are going fast for some of the attractions like the Bulls Express Train, especially on the weekends. Woolies Winter Wonderland starts November 22nd and runs until New Year's Eve. You can go to DurhamBulls.com for tickets. Coming up, a road closure in a very busy part of Raleigh will impact many commutes for the week. We'll tell you how to get around it.
Plus, we're working to learn why deputies were investigating a home in Johnston County for hours last night. The WRL Breaking News Tracker was there as the investigation stretched on.
As you get into your car, tune to WRAL News Plus on your radio in Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Monday. Time now is 826. I'm Michelle McConaughey. Roadways are busy out there. Brian Schrader tracking some major backups on I-40 this morning, Brian.
This is in the Eflin area in Orange County on that eastbound side of 40 coming in from Mebane toward Eflin. Looks like we have a minor crash there, perhaps on the right side of the road. And also in the distance, you can see where they have a left lane block. This is right around the Mount Willing Road exit. We're measuring at least a 12-minute delay on that eastbound trip between Mebane and Hillsborough. Consider using 70 as a good alternate route. That should save you between 15 and 20 minutes this morning, according to the latest updates that we're getting from our sensor readings. Also, we have a crash on 440 eastbound right around Melbourne Road on the east side of Raleigh. Heavy delays this morning coming in from Cary on US 1 all the way up toward the Western Boulevard interchange.
That's a pretty weather out there this morning. We take a live look at Sanford. Nothing but sunshine there. It's been a cool start this morning. A lot of folks started with temperatures in the 30s, but we're beginning to see temperatures creeping up a little bit. Still 37 in Lewisburg, but 41 in Tarboro, 42 in Irwin, 41 in Rocky Mountain Wilson now. Exercise planner today. We're going to warm on up into the mid-60s, middle of the afternoon. But if you're looking to exercise after work, temperatures will be in the low 50s. We'll see sunshine all day. Thanks, Elizabeth. We're working to learn more about a shooting on South Pleasant Coates Road near Benson. The Johnston County Sheriff's Office is handling the investigation. Deputies were at a home gathering evidence for more than 4 hours. The investigation remains active. And coming up next for us on Fox 50, we're working to learn the cause of a huge fire in Graham that brought in firefighters from all over the region. And next on Today, catching up with actress Scarlett Johansson live.
Shot in 4K ultra-high definition. Your number one source for local news. WRAL News. Coverage you can count on.
Breaking at 8:30, major delays on I-40 in Orange County and also a crash on the Beltline. I'll show you the alternate routes to get around those backups.
And temperatures are chilly as you head out the door. Still 32 in Roxborough. We're beginning to warm up a little bit. I'll show you how long you might need to grab your coat.
Plus, we're working to learn more about a shooting at a home near Benson. WRL's Breaking News Tracker was there as Johnston County deputies investigated.
It'll be a busy night here at PNC Arena as Wake County leaders hold the State of the County address, touching on key issues for people who call Wake County home.
A busy section of Overland Road is closed this morning as crews are working on a new streetscape project. Coming up, how this could impact your morning commute for the next week.
Certainly, that will affect thousands of folks here during this week. That's why we're starting our Monday off talking about it, get you prepared at 8:31. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. Yeah, this is a morning where you want to get into the car and sit there for a minute and turn the heater on because it's a little cold out there. Meteorologist Elizabeth Gardner has a beautiful look over Lake Gaston, Elizabeth, but it's pretty chilly. chilly. It's pretty chilly. You know, I'm not suggesting anyone is, you know, going to be out swimming today by any means. But, you know, fishermen could be out, especially later this afternoon as it starts to warm up. It is a beautiful view there as we take a look from the Point Restaurant. Pretty trees, pretty leaves turning in the background. But 39 degrees currently in the Triangle. It's 32 in Roxborough, but 40 in South Hill. Starting to see the temperatures creep up a little bit. It's 41 now in Southern Pines, 44 in Clinton, and 42 in Goldsboro. Our temperatures, though, were still about 5 to 10 degrees cooler than they were this time yesterday. Our afternoon temperatures, though, will be pretty similar. We'll see highs in the mid-60s, lots of sunshine for it today, and we're going to copy and paste this all the way until the end of the week. Now, by Friday, I'm tracking a front. I'll show you the timeline for rain and how it could affect your plans. Coming up, Brian.
Breaking at 8:32, I have two big backups to tell you about this morning. First of all, in Orange County, we have a crash on I-40 around Mount Willing Road. You can see the big backups here approaching that exit there in the distance. And then right there at the top of the screen, you can see where we have what appears to be one or two left lanes blocked as they work to get this cleared on 40 eastbound. Latest update from the sensor indicating some improvement. We're looking at a 12-minute delay. I've been watching those sensor readings, and they've kind of been going back and forth between about a 20 to 30-minute delay here lately. So if that 12-minute reading is accurate, and it does appear as though we're seeing it easing up a little bit, that should signal some improvement there as you head away from Mebane through Eflin out toward the Hillsborough area. As soon as you get to Mount Willing Road and that 8570 connector there, traffic's flowing freely. But getting there is going to be tough this morning for Mebane. Consider using 70 as a good alternate route. It parallels I-40, and you should be in pretty good shape there. Another crash that I'm following is on the Beltline, 440 eastbound, right around Melbourne Road. That's between Jones Franklin Road and Western Boulevard. Heavy delays this morning as they work to get that cleared. By the time you get to Western Boulevard, it clears up. So if you can pick up 440 eastbound from Western, you should be in pretty good shape. But we have some heavy delays merging in with the traffic backed up because of that crash. This is a live look at US 1 at Walnut Street in Cary, and you can see that heavy traffic heading under the I-40 bridge. Here's a look at the latest sensor readings. About a 5-minute delay as you head through Cary on US 1 northbound. Then as US 1 northbound becomes 440 eastbound, about a 13-minute backup from I-40 up to Wade Avenue.
All right. Thank you, Brian. Breaking news this morning. A shooting near Benson had deputies investigating for hours into the early morning. Brett Neese is in the WREL Breaking News Tracker, and he explains what we know so far about this investigation.
I reached out to one of the lead investigators here at the Johnson County Sheriff's Office around 7 a.m. He tells me that they are investigating a shooting that took place yesterday evening in the northern part of the county. Take a look. This is video from the WREL Breaking News Tracker of that scene. That's off of South Pleasant Coates Road. It's in the northern part of the county near highways 210 and 50. You can see there is plenty of crime scene tape there. It surrounded the front yard, the home, including a red truck that had its door open. Investigators were in and out of that home for several hours piecing this together, but there's still a number of details I'm working to piece together from the sheriff's office. I'm asking them, was anyone shot? What are the extent of their injuries? And do they have a suspect at this point? As soon as I get that next update from the sheriff's office, I'll pass it along. In Johnson County, Brett Neese, WREL News.
We also have a traffic alert that may affect your commute this week. The key connection right between NC State and the Village District will be closed. It's Oberlin Road. It's right at the Pullen Road roundabout and all the way through to Clark Avenue. WREL's Kelsey Coffey tells us this is part of the city's plan to improve that area.
Right now, we're on the Pullen Road side of this closure. The road will close from here to Clark Avenue. That's the main thoroughfare that connects the Village District to NC State. So this is going to impact drivers for the next week. The closure comes as crews are working on sewer and water main replacement. We spoke with drivers about how the detour impacts their morning commute. Some say this is going to be a headache.
For people who have children and are going to and from school and activities, and for people going to and from work, I can't imagine that it's a lot of fun.
This is part of a major streetscape project. Here's a look at what Oberlin Road will look like once the project is complete this upcoming summer. You can expect updated sidewalks, street lighting, and bike lines. And this here is that intersection of Pullen Road and Oberlin Road. Please be careful there at that roundabout because we've seen several drivers throughout the day speeding, not realizing that there was a detour. So be sure to watch out for that. And this section of Oberlin Road will reopen next Monday, November 20th. Kelsey Coffey, WREL News in Raleigh.
Crews from Orange County are among many firefighters who worked through the night at this mill fire in the Alamance County city of Graham. The Graham Fire Department responded to the warehouse fire on Parker Street just before 8 last night. The city's mayor says the entire block around that mill was evacuated and electricity was turned off. No reports of any injuries. This is the second huge fire, though, in just over a year's time at that same mill complex, which used to be owned by Culp Weaving.
Wake County leaders are looking to the future today as they lay out their plans for the county tonight. Concerns surrounding schools, safety, and food security will be some of the many topics that are addressed. WREL's Laura Levine explains county leaders have a lot on their plate as the community grows quickly.
It is very fitting that this address is taking place here at PNC Arena. A few months ago, the Board of County Commissioners adopted the hospitality tax to help upgrade and renovate the arena. And it's things like this, the county's growth and economic development, that the board really wants to capitalize on as they look ahead to the future. The board chair tells me the county is growing at a fast rate, adding about 56 people a day. However, this comes with some challenges. She says county leaders must look at ways to address equitable growth. She tells me other priorities they plan to address is safety, homelessness, food security, jobs, education, and more. She says it's really about finding that secret sauce to help gel all municipalities to work better together.
We're going to talk about community safety. We're going to talk about food security. We know that grocery prices are going up and, you know, things like that. Farmland preservation is important to this board and to this area. So we're going to talk about that a little bit. We're going to talk about our youngest residents, and we're going to talk about three school a little bit. And of course, we're going to talk to Adrienne Cole, who is the CEO of the Raleigh Chamber. So we're going to talk about business and how our business partners have been instrumental in our growth.
And the new chair there tells me that Better Together is the theme for this year. She's going to be having a panel style discussion with Wake County's sheriff as well as the Board of Education chair. So this address begins at 6 p.m. If you can't make it here in person, it'll also be live streamed. Laura Levine, WREL News in Raleigh.
We're facing another deadline for a government shutdown. This as you look live at the U.S. Capitol, where Congress has until Friday night to reach a deal. House Republicans say they have a plan, and sources say lawmakers could vote on it as early as tomorrow. New House Speaker Mike Johnson is going with a two-step plan. Under the strategy, some parts of the government would be funded until January and the rest until February. This type of plan has not been tested before. It does not include budget cuts or aid for Israel.
And we're following some breaking news here in the WREL Live Center. We now know the names of the five special ops soldiers who died during a training exercise over the Mediterranean on Friday. Take a look at your screen. Here are the names. Chief Warrant Officer 3, 38-year-old Stephen Dwyer of Clarksville, Tennessee. Chief Warrant Officer 2, 34-year-old Shane Barnes of Sacramento, California. Staff Sergeant 26-year-old Tana Groen of New Hampshire. 27-year-old Sergeant Andrew Sullard of Apache Junction, Arizona, and 24-year-old Sergeant Cade Wolf of Mankato, Minnesota. Now, the U.S. Army Special Operations Command is headquartered at Fort Liberty. This doesn't necessarily mean that the service members who died in that training exercise were based at Fort Liberty. The crash happened during an air refueling training mission. Of course, we'll continue to monitor this story for any new developments, especially if we find out if any of those soldiers were in fact stationed at Fort Liberty.
Thanks, Ken. The humanitarian crisis in Gaza is growing as Israeli forces try to root out Hamas terrorists in Gaza City. This comes as rabbis all around the United States are traveling to Israel to support, to provide support and healing, including some rabbis from right here in the Triangle. There are three rabbis from our area on their way to Israel to volunteer, visit soldiers, and support families in areas hit the hardest. Rabbi Eric Solomon of Beth Meir Synagogue spoke with WREL before he left yesterday. He said despite some security concerns, he and the other rabbis need to help people who are suffering.
This is what we learn as clergy. When people are suffering, when they have lost or they're in mourning, you have to be with them. You have to pray with them. You have to hold their hand. You have to give them a hug. You have to be in their space.
The group plans to be in Israel for about 4 days, offering help any way they can.
Up, police are looking for the shooter responsible for killing one and hurting many others yesterday in Houston. What we're learning about the victims in this shooting.
And it wasn't a very marvelous weekend at the box office for the Marvels. We'll take a look at the box office debut and how it could be a sign that people are just getting tired of superhero sequels.
And you're taking a live look over North Hills this morning. It's a cool morning, but it's shaping up to be pretty nice today. Elizabeth will tell us when we're seeing a chance of rain this week. It's 8:44. It's a beautiful morning out there. We have nothing but blue skies right here in Franklinton, outside of the middle school there, looking gorgeous. Our temperatures have been chilly this morning. We dropped down to freezing in some places. Right now in the Triangle, temperatures are still in the upper 30s. So a coat or jacket definitely feels good as you're stepping out. But temperatures will climb into the mid-60s for highs later on today. We'll see near normal temperatures with highs in the mid-60s. This is what we should be seeing. Last week, you know, we were seeing temperatures 20 degrees above normal most days. We'll see a late week warm up with highs near 70, but then we also have a chance of some rain late Friday, possibly lingering into Saturday morning. We take a look outside again, looking chilly in a lot of spots. 41 Southern Pines, it's 41 in Rocky Mount, still 36 in Roxborough, 45 in Fayetteville and in Clinton. So we're starting to see temperatures creep up. We'll see a high of 64 in Raleigh and Durham today and 66 in Fayetteville. We take a look at what's happening out there. High pressure back to our north and west, feeding in some chilly air. We have a front right here coming through parts of the Midwest. There's no rain associated with this front, but it will intensify the flow coming out of the northwest, keeping our temperatures cool. As a matter of fact, Wednesday looks like it'll end up being the coolest day of the week, a little bit below normal. You can see the color contours are mostly light blue, so that's going to signify maybe, you know, 1 to 2 degrees below normal. But a lot of warmth develops across the country and slides eastward late in the week, and our temperatures will start to bump up a little bit. Our normal high, is 64, so we're close to that for today and tomorrow. A little cooler on Wednesday at 61, and then almost 70 Thursday and 72 on Friday. But we do have some precipitation coming our way. On Saturday, all the way into the beginning of next week, right before Thanksgiving, we have a good chance of above normal temperatures. We also have some showers that are on the way, too. This is a look at Friday morning. We'll zoom in here and pause it there at about 7 a.m. on Saturday. So we're looking at the chance, I know it's not showing up here, but the possibility of some isolated showers popping up potentially into the early part of the morning. Our coverage of the Raleigh Christmas Parade begins at 9. The parade starts at 9:30. At that point, rain will be clearing, but keep checking back because we'll have so many more runs of the computer models. We'll be adjusting that timeline for the rain for you. Temperature at parade start time, 59 degrees. We check out temperatures after that, looking at a high of 68 on Saturday, 65 on Sunday. Sunday looks nice and bright. Brian?
It is 8:47 as we still watch these big delays on 40 eastbound as you head out of the Mebane area back toward Hillsboro this morning. This is that camera near the Mount Willing Road exit in Eflin, not too far from the 70 connector. And there in the distance, you can see where that crash has blocked the left lane. We're now back up to a 32-minute delay, according to sensors. That entire ride between Mebane out to I-85 and Hillsboro, very slow this morning. As we zoom into that area, I want to show you the best alternate route. Consider using 70 as your best bet this morning. That should save you between 10 and 20 minutes if you're trying to get from Mebane out to Hillsboro. Again, as soon as you get to Mount Willing Road and the 8570 connector, things really start to improve nicely. We are still tracking delays on 440 eastbound in Raleigh with a crash reported between the Melbourne Road area out toward Western Boulevard. Once you get to Western, everything's moving along well. So if you can pick up 440 eastbound from Western, you should be in pretty good shape. But it's really backing up traffic coming in through Cary on US 1 northbound. Of course, US 1 north turns into 440 eastbound. There's a look at the backups there on that camera at Walnut Street. You can see it creeping away from us into Raleigh. A 5-minute delay as you head through Cary on US 1 northbound and then a 16-minute backup from I-40 up to Wade Avenue on 440 eastbound.
Thank you, Brian. A young person has been killed and four others injured after a shooting at a flea market in a Houston suburb. It happened yesterday at 5:30. Police are still working to find who's responsible. Three adults and two people under 18 were injured and taken to nearby hospitals. One of the younger victims later died from their injuries. Police believe this was the result of an argument between two people. And tonight, students will gather on the campus of the University of Idaho to mark 1 year since the brutal murders of four students at an off-campus house. Brian Koberger, a grad student who lived about 10 minutes away, was arrested for the murders weeks later. He is now in the middle of a high-profile trial while pleading his innocence.
A man who was taken into custody after the killing of a Detroit synagogue leader is now out of jail. The unidentified man was taken into custody in connection with the murder of Samantha Wohl. Police believe she was killed at her home October 21st. Police did not say whether they believe the person who was arrested and released is responsible for her death. But he's not facing any official charges at this time. A motive for the murder has not been released.
Columbia University is suspending two college organizations, one pro-Palestinian, the other a Jewish organization, to try to calm tensions on campus. Major demonstrations have erupted over the past month since the Israel-Hamas war began. The suspended clubs are both anti-Zionist, and members have called for a ceasefire in Gaza. School administrators announced the clubs will be suspended until the end of the fall semester. Columbia said it was forced to make the move because the clubs violated university policies related to holding campus events. The FAA is taking a closer look at the mental health of pilots. The agency says it'll create a new committee to help encourage pilots to report their mental health issues. This all comes on the heels of an off-duty Alaska Airlines pilot trying to stop a plane engine mid-flight because he said he was having a nervous breakdown. Pilots are already required to undergo medical exams and report mental health conditions.
Rail traffic is still down in part of Colorado after a cargo train derailment. The Gilpin County Sheriff's Office said they received a call just before 7 on Sunday about this derailment. Fortunately, no injuries have been reported, but rail traffic is expected to resume within about 36 hours or so, although the recovering derailed cars will take a lot longer. The cause of this crash is unknown at this time.
A brand of pet food might be threatening your furry friend with salmonella. Mid-America Pet Food is recalling several brands, including Victor Super Premium Dog and Cat Food, Wayne Feeds Dog and Cat Food, Eagle Mountain Pet Food, and some members' Mark varieties. The CDC says that these foods are linked to at least 7 cases of salmonella since November 1st. Humans who handle the food or touch saliva of pets that ate the food may also be at risk. The CDC recommends throwing the food away and cleaning any surfaces that might have touched it.
A recent drought has caused Jordan Lake's water level to drop a lot, and it has revealed some wondrous things. The drought exposed artifacts, lost roadways, underwater train tracks, even foundations from old farmhouses that once utilized that rich farmland now lost beneath the lake. Over the weekend, crowds began visiting the beaches there for their chance to see the ruins for the first time. You can read much more about why there are so many flooded communities hidden beneath Jordan Lake by going to WRL.com. And you'll also see many more pictures like this.
A new sign: moviegoers may be growing tired of blockbuster superhero sequels. The Marvels is the 33rd movie in the 15 years for the Marvel Cinematic Universe. It opened this weekend with just $47 million at the box office. That's the lowest opening for any MCU movie ever. The Marvels is a sequel to Captain Marvel, which made 3 times as much in its opening weekend back in 2019.
A character known for his hatred of Christmas is actually spreading some holiday cheer at a hospital in the Triad. The Grinch made a stop at Brenner Children's Hospital in Winston-Salem this weekend. He visited with patients, giving them a chance to see the beloved character come to life. The Grinch is making his trip around the Triad ahead of a Christmas show at the Tanger Center in Greensboro.
Well, a big shakeup in the world of college football. Texas A&M has fired its coach, Jimbo Fisher. Fisher still had 8 years left on his contract and is guaranteed more than $77 million. The school's athletic director says he called for Fisher to be removed so that the program can reach its full potential.
Well, there's nothing Rob Gronkowski won't do, it appears. Former NFL star skydived from 11,000 feet live on TV during the NFL on Fox pregame show yesterday. Part of the show's broadcast right there from the Air Force Academy. He did it. And he's Gronk, so of course he celebrated a safe landing by spiking the football right here.
Bam. There you go. That's what he does. That's Gronk for you. And the Las Vegas Raiders are winners again. Aiden O'Connell connected with Michael Mayer for this touchdown pass early in the fourth to give them the lead over the Jets. It was the only touchdown of the game. Raiders came away with a 16-12 win. We'll be right back.